live TV, hello, family.
Well, this is being, I think the audio is picking
this
up.
It's picking up on the Let Me Tell You Why episode.
Can you see the cold open? Am I on live TV?
My special guest, family.
John, can you just give me a quick, am I on live TV?
Oh, my goodness, am I on live TV?
Yes, oh, we got it. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Welcome back
to
every
time you clap, a door opens.
Let's see if it does again.
No, nope. But there are noises.
Okay, well, that's just the trick.
Yeah, that's
well, hello, it. Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Let Me Tell You Why. I am your host, Tyler Webster. Wait, check this out. Look at that! Oh my God,
oh
I love
boy.
It. I'm your host, Tyler Webster, joined as always by my co-host, Danielle Lorenz.
Hello. And Russell.
And joined by Russell.
I'm so in love with both of these freaking hosts. I'm so happy you guys are here. Drop a like wherever you are. Thank you so much.
Let's go. Yeah, guys, we are so sorry for the break. We had to handle some important theater business.
Yeah, Little Shop, and then chaos, and then illness, and then,
yes.
You know, all kinds of things.
All of that. COVID is no joke. Please stay safe. But also, you know, don't if you don't want to. Like,
yes.
Like it's your life. I'm not going to live it for you. Yeah, guys, we're back hopefully more consistently now.
Yes, more consistently.
And it took being away from this to realize just how much I love doing this. So we're happy
really,
to be
it
back.
Really? It took that? Wow.
No, it didn't.
Petty.
But that's just petty. Cringe.
Cringe.
So anyway, yeah, so as we stated last week, the topic for today is what happens when you die.
The most fun of topics that we could think of.
Exactly.
It's going to be very exciting.
And so to balance it out, next week, stay tuned, because next week we're going to be conquering the topic of fan fiction.
Yee!
Fucking finally! We finally get to do it! And I'm really excited about it. None of you sent in anything. I'm disappointed in all of you.
Especially David.
David, why, man? After all we've been through, all the gay shit, like...
We're gonna have to figure out if we want to, like, find shit to actually read, or if we want to find shit to just, like, talk about how fucking cringe it is.
Or
and,
if
like,
we
want to
write our own and then have a competition.
Oh, God. Write our own fan
Write our own smut competition?
Oh, you would win. Like, this is not a competition. It's just that you would win.
I mean, you're right, but still...
Mine would just end up being fucked up. It wouldn't be funny at all.
It's just like, oh, no.
It's just, wait.
No,
whoa,
stop.
Whoa,
I
no.
All right,
it's
and
like
that's where we're going to end tonight's
episode.
It's like
that competition between Colton and Tanner. Of like who could find the
yes.
worst porn.
Oh my God, yes.
That's what it would be.
Yeah, as soon as somebody actually died, I was like, okay, we're shutting this entire thing down.
Yeah, no.
That was horrible. All right. But that's not the topic for today, unfortunately. No, you tuned in to listen to us talk about what happens when you die.
Oh boy.
So, Danielle, what happens when you die?
What happens when you die is unknown, and let me tell you why.
Yeah, there you go. What happens when you die, in my opinion, with my spirituality, I think what happens when you die is very, very beautiful, and literally, what was it? Oh, gosh. It was like a movie that was made from a book, and it was To Die Would Be an Excellent Adventure. Peter Pan.
Yes.
Peter
okay.
Pan. Yeah, that. That's what I think, and let me tell you why. So,
or are you talking about, because the Neverending Story was also a little bit like that, where the guy was like, you know, dying would be something.
Yes, but I remember specifically it was from Peter Pan, and he was like, to die would be an excellent adventure. You know what I mean?
I only remember
that. It was the early 2000s Peter Pan, or I just made that up. but either way, I don't think it's as scary as everyone makes it out to be, but it could, and stay tuned for me explaining how that works. So before we dive into my crackheadedness, what do you think happens when you die?
Okay.
No pressure, but this is the question that has permeated humanity since forever. So
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah,
so and
I gotta have all
quick.
The answers.
Just hit it real quick. You got it.
Well, speaking for myself, I'm having so much trouble. So before I dive into it, this is another reason why we got to get you through the rest of Hill House, because we need to. I want to show you both Bly Manor, but also Midnight Mass, and there is a whole scene that is just two characters talking about what they believe happens when they die. It's someone who is atheist and someone who is Christian, and they go back and forth, and like it's like, you know, this long monologue from both of them about what they think happens, whereas, you know, and it's honestly so awesome. The scene is fantastic.
What was the atheist's point of view?
His was mostly just about, like, the scientific, you know, what exactly what happens to your body and your brain, like, when
it
happens.
Returning to the earth.
Returning
like
to the earth, and then that, like, you know, and then after that, I forget exactly what he said, but it was something along the lines of, like, and then you're just, you know, you're just nothing. You're a part of, you know, everything else at that point. And, like, that, and, like, that's about it. Obviously, her view was different, but then that conversation comes back later. It's like a call forward. But it's really, really cool. So we got to watch that. But as far as my personal perspective, so this is something that that you and I have talked about, and me and Samuel have talked about a lot, is that my opinion on what happens when you die has changed so much since I was a kid.
Really?
Because as a kid, I was this just, you know, blind, completely brainwashed into believing every little bit of conservative Christianity.
Well, you were getting right with God.
Oh, God, I hate you. I just told Samuel about that crap, like, like yesterday, and he's going to hear that. Oh, my God.
Can somebody clip her saying, God, I hate you?
Because
out of context, that's pretty sacrilegious, and I can tell you what's happening when you die.
Oh, my God.
You're going
God.
To hell.
No, but as a kid, because I still, you know, I still identify as Christian, but not nearly to the same, not the same type and not to the same degree as I did as a kid.
Of course.
And as a kid, I just believed everything I was told. I was just like, yeah, you know, going to hell if you're bad or if you don't believe in God, and then going to heaven if you do. Like, that's how it works. Mm-hmm. But now, after, like, you know, learning as much as I have about other religions and about, you know, the idea of reincarnation and about all these different things, I kind of believe that we all have a little piece of what it is that, you know, except for religions that just are just for money and shit and don't, you know, actually mean anything.
What religions would those be?
Like, I don't know, Scientology.
I was trying to get you to just expose yourself and just, like, alienate, like, a portion of our non-existent audience.
We just put, like...
We just lost all the Scientologists
that listen
to us.
We just captioned it, like, if you're a Scientologist, unsubscribe. Like, no, but, I mean, I don't really know that much. I just know that, like, apparently it's, like, a money thing and, like, it's a cult or whatever. I don't know that much about it.
We went down a huge rabbit hole about Scientology, and it was really funny. Not because, like, because it's sad. It's equal parts funny and sad because there's a lot of inherent ridiculous... There you go.
Oh, I didn't even think about how much noise that was going to make. I'm sorry. I'm having...
No, it's fine.
I didn't even think about it.
I thought you were doing that on purpose because it was so egregious. I'm like, wow, holy shit.
So I'm dealing with some allergies today. If you can't tell from my voice, it's a little different. And, like, I've got a bit of a headache. I took a test. I'm fine. But, because of that, I've got, like, I need my coffee really bad. And so I'm like.
So I'm going to drag it over to
you. But I'm also not thinking as well as I usually am. So I apologize in advance. Anyway.
But no, like, we went down this whole rabbit hole. And it's equal. It's such a shame, right? Because it is my personal held belief that Scientology was written by a fiction writer specifically to try and scam people out of their money. That is my held belief. I know I'm so brave. but the people who get... Welcome to ASMR. Welcome to Scientology ASMR. No, but the people who believe in it really believe that it is honest and that it is truth. And if they're being taken advantage of, which I don't know all the answers, but if they are being taken advantage of, it's something that I'm very sympathetic to.
I didn't even really know all that. Like, I don't know much about it at all.
Okay, get this real quick. I'll tell you what happens when you die. So in the beginning of time, which was 300 like trillion years ago, which is a time frame that never existed, like, scientifically, like, even the oldest idea of how how old the universe is not even close to 300 trillion years old.
Yeah.
So 300 trillion years old, there was this distant planet. And the planet, it was like Xenu was like the big bad guy or the good guy. I can't remember. And so he had this jail, like a prison planet where all the bad people would go. And something happened and he took that planet and threw it into a volcano planet. And when it killed everyone, it released their souls and the souls became trapped in human bodies 300 trillion years later. And so those are your thetans and you have to check your thetans with an e-reader. Damn it.
you were behind.
I know. I was like, you got to be quicker than that. You got to check your thetans in an e-reader that tells you how cursed you are, and then you got to pay a bunch of money to get them to get rid of it. That's Scientology as it's been explained to me. And this is incredibly, like, wow.
This is, again, a reason why you have to watch Parks and Rec. There are these cultists in it.
Oh, good.
That are in the town that are called, they call themselves the Reasonableists. So that, and they call themselves that so that if people start like bashing them, people think they're bashing something very reasonable.
That's really funny.
And so they believe that there's this like huge dragon that's going to consume the earth with his breath named Zorp.
Yeah.
And so they just like.
Zorp.
At different. Yes, of course. That guy. And so at different times.
Like is my religion a joke to you? Jesus.
Yes.
I'm gonna call Zorp. He's gonna
call Zorp. No, but that's like they have a whole joke where the guy who invented it was the super organizer guy, and so he wrote this book called Organize It. That's just organizing your house. Okay. And then he had a different idea, which was what if there's a giant dragon that's gonna destroy the earth? And then he wrote a second book called Organize It to Engage with Zorp. And it's just like and it's just crazy and shit. It's so fucking bonkers. And there's they have like whenever they think the world's gonna end, they like gather in the park and like play these like things on flutes and shit. It's so fucking funny. But as soon as you said that, that's all I thought of.
Engage with Zorro. I mean, it's not that too dissimilar. I guarantee you they took inspiration from it. But that's not what we're talking about.
No, sorry, we're not talking about Zorp
or Xenu. We're talking about your enlightened view of Christianity. So, we'll call it Christianity Plus.
Yes, we'll call it Christianity Plus because I
now
do
streaming.
Streaming, no! There are Christian, like, streaming services out there that are pretty cringe.
Let's look that up.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there is.
It was Peter Pan, by the way.
Okay, cool. But yeah, so growing up, you know, I had a much more closed-minded belief. I was like, this is all it is, fire and brimstone. Like, you know, if you don't believe in God or you're not a Christian, you're going to hell. Now, I've kind of, like, you know, come through a new period of, like, you know, spiritual enlightenment where based on what you learn in Christianity, or at least, you know, the way that I was taught, God is a loving God.
Mm-hmm.
He has created all of us because he loves us.
Right.
And he wants to see, like, our souls, you know, progress and grow and like, both go through hardship, but then grow from said hardship.
Yes.
Like, you know. And so that's what I believe, is that, you know, that's what it is. Obviously, you know, there's stuff in the Old Testament, like, but the whole thing with Christianity, as opposed to just the Old Testament, like, you know, essentially Judaism, is that, you know, God created a new covenant through Jesus that is all based in love and, like, just loving your neighbor, loving mm-hmm. God, like, all that stuff. So for me, growing up, I couldn't understand, or I went through a period a few years ago where I was like, I don't get how, if that's what we're taught to believe, mm-hmm. he has hell for people.
Right.
Like, why would he ever create these souls it said that every single person is a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hitler was a child of God.
Yeah.
Like, so why on earth would he create these terrible people that are going to hell if he loves us? It didn't make any sense to me. And I went through a period where I kind of didn't believe, like, I was borderline agnostic for like a year and I just didn't tell anybody because I was kind of embarrassed about it. I was like, you know, I'm trying to figure it out, but I don't know that I believe in anything right now.
Yeah.
And
that must have been really hard.
It was a struggle because I was like, I felt like I couldn't talk to anyone about it because I was worried that if I talked to someone else who, you know, wasn't necessarily like a Christian at the time, then they might just pull me further away. Or if I talked to someone who was Christian, they'd start being like, how dare you? Like, you know, all this stuff. So I kind of just kept it all inside. And, but after that year, I kind of came out of it where I was like, okay, Because I listen to all these stories about reincarnation and all these, like, cases on it where people were trying to decide, like, is this real? Is this people just, like, trying to make a quick buck with, like, oh, this girl has memories, you know? Mm-hmm. And I came to the conclusion that I was, like, I genuinely believe what I think happens. Because I had already kind of come to the belief that it's not, like, heaven. It's not all these puffy clouds and you just get everything.
Yeah.
Like, we go to a different plane of existence. Like, yes. A new plane where we all look different and everything is different and, like, you know, life is different, but it's still our souls just going on to the next thing.
Okay.
Now I still believe that, and I think that is sort of the version of heaven, is when you go through this life and you have learned the lessons you need to learn, which I believe that in this plane of existence it is to be able to, like, develop deep different kinds of love for different people. Mm-hmm. And being able to learn things like patience and forgiveness. I think those are the things that we're supposed to learn in this life. Mm-hmm. And once we have learned that, once our souls have, then we go to the next plane of existence for the next, like, challenge. Hmm. And if we don't learn what we're supposed to learn, rather than getting sent into this fiery place where we suffer forever, because I just don't believe that he would do that. Mm-hmm. We just get, essentially, we start over. We reincarnate and we come back as someone totally different. He puts us in a different situation, maybe a different gender, different part of the world, and is like, try again. And you start over. And that's the version of quote unquote hell, is having to relive this thing over and over until you get it right.
That's literally Buddhism.
Yeah.
Like, it, what you're describing is like a Buddhist protein shake, but you're adding in just like a little, like sprinklings of Christianity.
Well,
like,
that's the thing too.
For flavor.
Well, and what I've said for forever is like, I don't think that just because I'm a Christian means that I can't believe in other aspects of other religions as well.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, like, you know, with Islam, with Buddhism, with, you know, with Hinduism, I think there's things in all of them that have merit, mm-hmm. and that have truth to them. Mm-hmm. And I just personally, for me, it's not even so much that I'm like, you know, oh, well, Christianity is the right one. It's just that is the lens that I'm the most comfortable viewing it through.
Yeah.
And so, like, I take from all of those other things and I have compiled what I believe, but it's more, it is easier for me just because of, you know, my whole life, mm-hmm. to see it through the lens that I choose to see it through, which is through a Christian lens. But that is what I think happens.
That's, I mean, it's not, God's honest truth is it's not too dissimilar from what I think. But just with, you know, a few key differences, and I go out of my way to try and make it clear that I don't even know if I'm right, you know?
Oh, I don't know.
My entire belief is based, is steeped in this concept of, these are the beliefs and the truths that I hold dear to me. And they give me solace and they give me mental peace through circumstances. But I very, very clearly can be wrong. Statistically, there's a probability that I actually might be wrong. And I don't care.
Well,
right?
Yeah. And that's just the definition of faith. Is
exactly.
That we don't know what comes next, mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. This is just what comforts us the most to believe,
right.
and what we think could be true based on, like, different evidence that we have.
And a lot of people get scared of what they don't agree with, mm-hmm. because it's they take it as a challenge to their beliefs.
Right.
And that's not at, like, for me, that's not what it is at all. You have differing opinions and beliefs than what I have, but that's not challenging me.
You're wrong.
No, I know. And that's the thing, right? So we can have a good conversation, but I've had, oh my God, I've had just weeks, months of just straight conversation with individuals of all shapes and sizes who believe different things, who get offended by the things that I say just because they're personal beliefs that I hold to me, and then I get persecuted for it. I mean, it's what permeated a lot of my younger life. And so for me, you know, I had mentioned this on the psychics episode. So my progression was, I was born and raised in an atheist household. Where I was like, all these people are talking about God, like, what is God? And they're just like, well, this is what they think God means. This is what we think God means. We think that it's nothing. Mm-hmm. And then it's just an it's not an excuse, but it's just a vehicle of which people can find their own peace with what happens when you die. We're not necessarily afraid of that. And I'm not trying to put them on a pedestal. This is how it was explained to me. They would say, we're not afraid of what happens when you die because we don't know. And we're not going to try and claim like we do know. But we don't believe that the scripture is accurate, right? Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, interesting. And so, but they went out of their way, my mom and my dad, to be like, well, here's the thing though. That's what we believe. Mm-hmm. We will love you no matter what if you find your own belief that differs from ours. And if you need us to take you to temple, mosque, you know what I mean? Whatever, mm-hmm. like church, we'll take you to these places and we'll be, you know, loving and accepting, which was really cool. And so it gave me an opportunity. It gave me a really, really like unique opportunity to be able to look at all the religions and test them against my own personal like inquisitive, what's the word I'm looking for?
Curious?
Like reasoning. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like my own thought process, my own sense of my own common sense as to if you're not steeped in the religion from birth, mm-hmm. when you look at it objectively, from a position of, I don't know if it is or isn't, I just want to know what sits right with me, it completely changes the tone of all of the religions.
Yeah.
Right? Because I've always said there are only two ways that someone can be religious. And there are only two, and I have yet to find something that is different. You either were born and raised in a religious environment, right? And so you were taught it from birth, or circumstances happened, you found yourself in a low point in your life and find religion.
Yeah.
And I've never seen any other way of which you find that kind of religion. And so when you take that kind of understanding and you apply it to everything, right? Everything from the east to the west, what is true to me? I found a lot of inspiration from Eastern philosophy and Buddhism specifically. Mm-hmm. And so I called myself a Buddhist for a time. And then I started getting into like Western New Age spiritualism and like Wiccans and paganism. And I'm just like, I'm sitting here just learning, right?
Because
for me, I will never come at you and be like, that's wrong and you're dumb. That's not true. When I was younger, I was a bit of an angry atheist because I was persecuted.
Well, I mean, I was the same way when I was younger, you know, right. I said things to people that I regret very, very much now that I look back and I'm like, I didn't know anything. Why was I talking to people like this?
Exactly. And so I'm grateful that my phase of anger was very brief because it lasted maybe a year, if that. But after that, I just, you know, started focusing on love being like the basis of all of the conversations. And that definitely helped me grow like spiritually. So all that's to say, I continue on like my journey talking to people, hearing what they think, hearing what they believe, hearing the passion and the conviction and way they explain what is truth to them. And now I'm an adult having experienced pretty much, or I don't, not everything, but the main ones at least. Mm-hmm. And I can sit here and go, I don't believe any of them are the right one. I believe it's like, I always use my Lego analogy, where it's like, you're at the store, you're going to buy a Lego set, right? And you see six Lego sets that are on sale. So you're going to buy one of the six. And what do the Lego sets come with? They come with the book that tells you how to put the pieces together, mm-hmm. the pieces that you are called by the book to put together, and the minifig, right? The little figure guy. And it could be one, it could be 10, it could be 100, you know what I mean? Whatever. And those are the religions, right? Because the pieces that you are called to put together are the acts and services and beliefs and things that you are called to do in this life that you have to do according to the book or the religious text of your choice. And then the person is the figurehead that all of those pieces surround, mm-hmm. and kind of like bring to the forefront. And so you can pick one religion off of the shelf and open it up and build your Lego thing. But a lot of the kids that I've talked to, at least that I've grown up with, will tell you the best way to have fun with Legos is to take all of them, dump them into a bin, and build your own spaceship out of the pieces and screw the books, right?
Yeah.
So you build your spaceship, and it could take one or three or five or none of the little figure guys, and then your spaceship is going to look nothing like what any of the books would call you to do. So what it does is essentially you take all the religions into a pot and you boil off the dogma. You boil off the human input in these religions where humans come in to try and vie for control, which permeates all the religions, in my opinion, and you're left with all of the same themes from all the religions, which are be good to one another,
mm-hmm.
respect where you came from, and just be a decent fucking person. Don't be a dick. Like, that's essentially what they're all trying to say. And so you take that in, and it's like, okay, cool. Well, what does that mean, though? Like, where do you go when you die? And through my own meditation and my own spiritual practice and my own truths that that have revealed themselves to me personally, is a little crackhead. But I freely admit this, right? And this is, I set it up like this way because it's funny, right? Because I'm talking about this, like, you know, truth and seeing from all these different angles and whatever. So it's like, okay, well, what do you think then? Well, I think some crazy shit. I fully believe in reincarnation. Wholeheartedly, I believe that reincarnation is essentially the basis of why humans are exist on this earth, mm-hmm. right? Reincarnation meaning it is a soul who is called to live your life and then start again and continue living these lives over and over and over. And it's a little less flowery in terms of like, oh, I align myself with love. I mean, you can and you should. But ultimately, it's a quest for information, right? We're like like hard drives. We're just collecting information and storing it, and then taking that information and creating meaning within that. And so, when you're collecting this information, your higher self is my term for, and it's not mine, but it's the term I use for the collective consciousness of all of the lives that you've lived, right? So you can, through meditation, commune with both your higher self and different lives that you've lived, kind of like how Avatar Aang in Avatar
Last Airbender. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, I need to talk to the previous Airbender, and then she pops out. I need to talk to Kyoshi, and then she pops out.
Yeah.
Right? And he's talking to these different versions of himself. And then when he's in the avatar state, it's all of them talking at the same time.
Yeah.
Right? So his avatar state is kind of what I view your higher self, which is the everything, right?
Yeah.
Which is such an interesting concept, because it's like when you take all of these consciousnesses, all of these experiences, all of this information, and you put it together and they all collide into one another, what personality does that yield? And I just find that just fucking fascinating personally. But all that's to say, your spirit is called to live varied and different lives. You know, it wants you to be Hitler, and it wants you to be the Jews that he killed, right?
Yeah.
It wants you to be a serial rapist, and it wants you to be someone who is abstinent until they die. You know what I mean? Your higher self wants you to see the light and the darkness that this world can yield, so that by the time you have doled out and also experienced the pain. Okay.
What is
it going to happen again?
Oh, goodness. Okay.
What's happening?
I don't know. Let me see.
It's a sign.
Stop talking about Hitler and racism.
It's the universe telling me, shut the fuck up.
It's fucking Candace's phone. Someone named Cody is calling.
Answer it.
I'm not going to answer it. I don't know who Cody is.
Just go up there and slide it under her,
Under the door.
Under the door.
Oh, boy. All right, hold on.
And say mean things. I don't know if we're going to cut this, so I'm just going to say, it's nice to be back. I miss talking to you guys about all my crackheaded thought processes, and it's been pretty cool.
I think that they were having sex.
Let's go.
I'm sorry.
Put your clothes on.
Wait, I have clothes on.
Good. Keep it that way.
I put it outside.
She slid it under your door.
It was outside Russell's door.
Not that door.
No, not outside.
Your door to your room.
Holy shit, y'all. Oh my god. No, I didn't fucking see it.
Where were we? Anyway, death.
Talking about Hitler and rapists is what you were talking about.
Okay, yes. I mean, yes, but also yes. So speaking of Hitler and rapists, so no, but that's the beauty of it, right? You need to see both sides of the coin so that you can, as this collective consciousness, realize the pain and suffering that you have the capacity to dish out, while at the same time, the love, light, and positivity that you can also dish out. And so the more that you know, the more you can empathize. That, like, I, you know, I personally have not been shot in the chest with a rifle, right? But like, if that happened to me in a past life, there's a part of me spiritually that can empathize with an experience like that, right?
Okay.
You know, I was never, you know, I am not currently a woman who's being told that, you know, the government does not respect you or your rights, but I was a woman in a previous life. And so there's like, there's this profound level of empathy that I find having in talking to people who don't look like me or don't sound like me or have different experiences. And then I find that I'm able to empathize with these people and really like feel their pain as they express themselves to me, mm-hmm. because I believe, and again, this is just my belief, I believe that through having experienced these different lives, it gives me a spiritual perspective that allows me to kind of share in their happiness and their pain that they experience in life. And so,
well, you were talking about the Lego thing. And I mean, that's that, like that's essentially, you know, what I was sort of talking about, where, like, for me, you know, I have kind of like, you know, dumped everything together, but I've kept my original set. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I've taken some things off. I'm like, okay, I don't like these pieces.
You've modified it.
I've modified it. And then I've added some pieces from other things to make something new that just its foundation exists on my original thing.
And I think that's really cool.
And like, so as you were talking about it, I was like, yeah, that's like that's a pretty good analogy. Like, you know, it was just a little, like, you know, nice looking house.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like a castle. And I've just like,
exactly.
You know, I've taken the house and it stays the foundation, and I've kind of spread it out a little bit and now like put stuff on top of it.
And I think that should be celebrated. And so in my long drawn out way, get to the fucking point, what happens when you fucking die? I believe that the current life that you're living, the Danielle and the Tyler, this identity, my community calls it your ego, right?
Yeah.
This is my current identity as to who I am. And so your current identity when you die becomes a drop in the big bucket that is your collective consciousness, your higher self, right? The bucket is filled with water. But what is that water if it's not just a collection of droplets, mm-hmm. right? And so when your drop gets added into the bucket, it's not the drop with other drops. It becomes water that is in the bucket, right?
And this is why I want you to watch Midnight Mass. In the last episode, there is a character who talks about what happens when you die, when they're having this epiphany, like, as they're dying.
Mm.
And they talk so much about, like, you know, about... Like I don't know if it's maybe potentially like what Mike Flanagan believes or if it's just like sort of an idea, but it's very similar to that idea specifically.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more trippy, I would say, but it walks along that same trail.
Yeah.
And so like, I want you to watch that show so bad.
I will. So you die, you become your higher self. And your higher self goes to, I call it the train station. It's not a train station, but just to articulate my point, this like astral train station.
The King's Cross station.
Kind of. Like I always imagine it similar to like when Harry dies.
Yeah, and he's in there with like the Horcrux and with Dumbledore.
And with Dumbledore. Yeah. That's kind of how I view it, where it's, you know, there's a window that you can look out and you can see the world and you can just watch the things that are happening. Right? You can take your spirit and go to the world and interact with other spirits to try and help them. Those spirits that choose to do that are called guides. Mm-hmm. Individuals who don't necessarily feel like living another life right now, because I'm assuming it's probably very exhausting. So before going into another life, my day job is going to be going to Earth and visiting these people, and you know, when there is a crossroads and I don't know if I need to go left or right, and I, as the spirit who knows a lot more, knows that you go left, you're gonna get fucked. I'm gonna pull you right. It's that tug on your in your gut saying go right, go right. Mm-hmm. I'm helping guide you in that direction, and I'm imparting wisdom and knowledge, and I'm helping you access your own higher self as best I can. And so so that's what guides are. And then when all is said and done, and there's debate as to whether or not you can choose what life you go into or if it's random. I personally don't know and don't really care because it doesn't change anything.
Yeah.
But then you hop on the train. And when you hop on the train, you are thrust into another life. And now and you immediately press the record button. And so you're immediately from birth, you're recording information and living a completely separate life from previous lives that you've lived. And so this cycle continues and continues and continues as your bucket gets more and more filled with water. And it gets to a point where you've pretty much learned all of the things that you can learn. And that's the really interesting part, because when you've lived thousands, if not hundreds of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of lives, and you've experienced the human experience in any way, shape, and form that you can, that it can be experienced, at that point, to me, that's apotheosis, right? That's ascension to a higher plane of existence. So do you go to the next dimension up, you know, and then start fresh as this completed being, and then go and interact with other completed beings, and the cycle continues, but just on a higher plane of existence? Do you become your own god at that point? I don't fucking know, but it's fascinating. It's fascinating, and it's so incredible and overwhelming to think of the possibilities of what happens when your soul completes that journey.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that helped inspire this was a poem called The Egg. Have you ever heard of it?
I don't know.
So I'll give you the summary and then I'll shut the fuck up. So in the poem, it talks about this middle-aged guy who's got a wife and two kids, and he's going back home to see them from his day job. Boom, gets in a car accident, dies immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so a friendly-faced individual walks up to him in the void, because he's just in void, and starts talking to him, and he's just like, I'm God. And he's like, oh, so the Christians were right? And he's like, eh, I said I'm God. You know, he's like, eh, we'll get there. We'll get there. But no, you died. And he's just like, well, he starts panicking, freaking out. Like, well, but what about my wife, my kids? And he's like, they're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. It's already been decided. Like, they're good. You're good. Take a beat. And the guy starts like reeling and starts kind of like lurching as he's realizing he's getting information that he didn't know he had. Right. Mm-hmm. And he's getting these memories that are not his, and he's freaking out, and he's like, God, what is happening to me? And he's like, well, you're starting to realize that this isn't the only life that you've lived. You've lived other lives, and you're starting to, the longer you stay in this place, the more you start to realize and become the collection of those different lives. And he's just like, well, where am I going now? And he's like, well, you know, I've got you slated for an 1800s peasant woman in England. And he's like, fucking what? He's like, I can go back in time. And it's like, time doesn't really work like that when you're here. It's just constant over and over and over again. And he ends up asking, what is the point to all of this? You know, these other people that I'm interacting with. And God's like, oh, well, that's the thing. There is no one else. It's just you. You are every life that has ever lived. You are Hitler and the 6 million Jews that he killed, right? You are literally everyone who will born and die on American soil, and you are everyone who will be born and die on Russian soil.
How old is this poem? I assume it's like...
I have no idea. I think it's modern. I think it's like in the early 2000s.
Because that's like what the monologue was. I wasn't going to go into really? All of that, but that's like what it was, essentially.
Yeah, it's called concept. The Egg. Yeah. Yeah. And so so there is no, you know, I'm talking to you. And I personally believe, this is outside of the egg, that you are your own spirit.
Yeah.
Right? That has your own experiences. This says...
No, this is all simulation. This,
right. Well, this poem, if you believe it, says that me and you are the same spirit.
Yeah.
Just living different iterations, right? Over and over and over again. And so it's... And the whole point of it is to say, when you dish out and dole out pain to other people. You're only doing it to yourself, which is beautiful,
mm-hmm.
right? And when you give love to yourself.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, I think while the conceptually it's gorgeous and very, very beautiful, I think practically that I just don't believe that personally, yeah. but I do think I draw a lot of inspiration.
That pushes the boundaries of what I can get on board with.
Right.
But again, I don't know what's going on, yeah. and none of us do. So it's like,
all
you know.
Sex is just masturbation when you really think about it.
Oh my God. Bro.
And with that.
What a way to think about it. Wow. So what happens when you die is masturbation and Hitler.
Masturbation, Hitler. Yeah, masturbation, Hitler masturbating. Hitler. That's what it all comes down
That's
to.
What it
That's
all comes
the
down
point.
To. That's what you see when you die.
Masturbating Hitler.
Oh,
like,
God.
Oh, God, this is my own personal hell.
Oh, my God. That's
it's just
so
me spanking
terrible.
It 24/7.
That's terrible. Oh my God.
Yeah. And that's what happens in my, that is my belief as to what happens when you die.
Yeah. And I think there's, you know, a lot of like potential for that. You know, I think there's potential that both of ours could at least to an extent, you know, sort of coincide
mm-hmm.
where,
no, that's great.
You know, fuck off, get out of my house.
I'm completely kidding. Fuck off, get out of my house.
No, but I think there's a lot of ways that they definitely could. And even if they didn't, like, you know, it's like we were saying earlier, you know, it's a big, you know, thing now that talking about things like this tend to be very tricky for like just because so many people get so offended. Like if I try, you know, if I tried to have, you know, this frank of a conversation with, say, like my sister or my dad, it would be very tricky just yeah. because they are both very diehard by the book Christians.
Which, by the way, Danielle's sister and dad, thanks for tuning in.
I don't think my dad would tune in. My sister might tune in. But no, like, and that's not even because, like, you know, they're not bad people. They don't like, they're not aggressive about, like, you know, what they believe. It's just they are passionate.
Yes.
And because of that, it's hard when you are passionate about something for someone to then go against what you're passionate about.
Yes.
Even if they're not being aggressive about it, it can feel like an attack. It can feel like yeah. someone saying, well, that's cute, but you're wrong, and this is what I think. And especially if it's someone very close to you, then yeah. it's even harder.
Well, it's also hard, too, if the core of your belief is, if you're not with me, you're going to hell, and you're yeah. going to burn for eternity. So what it does, the problem with that, is that someone comes to you with full love in their heart, beating you over the head because they think if they succeed in converting you, they have saved you.
Yeah.
And that's toxic.
Yeah, it can
and
be.
They don't understand that because they think it's out of love. And I appreciate that it's out of love.
Right. Like, you know that it's not out of, you know, hatred or trying to, like, you know, force you to anything.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who, you know, used to be that, I'm like, I know it wasn't out of anything other than fear for someone not ending up where I was.
Right.
You know, I was always right. afraid that, like, my friends who didn't believe the same as me weren't going to be where I was. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to, like, you know, I don't want to get up there without them. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to know that they're, you know, burning. Like, I want to know they're okay.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, that's why I went on, you know, as many, like, you know, mission trips as I did and all this stuff is because I was like, you know, like, spread the word, get it out there. People need to be safe.
Yeah.
And now I'm at the point where it's like, I would almost prefer if I went on, like, mission trips again, which most of the time when we went, it wasn't even to, like, preach. It was mostly to go, like, help build houses and stuff.
I think that's cool.
Like when we went to Costa Rica, like, we did a little
you
bit of, like...
You can only come into this house, though, Mr. Poor Person, if...
No!
If...
No!
If you get baptized.
No!
How bad you want it, motherfucker?
No, but
praise
we...
Praise Jesus, bitch.
No, like, we definitely did, like, a little bit of, like, you know, outreach with people.
Samuel just came down and looked at me.
He's like, what the fuck is this episode?
I will not be tuning in.
He's like, I will be skipping this episode. No. But, like, what we do, like, you know, in Costa Rica, we did, like, some outreach, but our days, for the most part, were us younger kids, because I was like 12, mm-hmm. would just go and just play with the kids in the village, not sure. tell them anything about anything, but literally just, you guys want to play catch or like, you know, let's play volleyball or something like that, because there was this dingy little field where like you could play soccer or something.
Yeah.
It was a pretty gross place. But, and then like all the adults would go, because most of the houses in the village that we went to, it was called El Mirador, was they had at most three walls most of the time. So it was like wall with just open ceiling, open front. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, the mortality rate was very, very high because
both, where was this? Like,
this is in Costa Rica. Oh. And so part of it was that they were going in and essentially like helping, you know, finish all of the houses.
I see.
And also helping to repair like community centers that have been like destroyed in storms and like things like that.
Damn.
And then like when we went to, you know, we took a trip to like Alabama and to Kentucky, and it was the same thing. It was where we'd go out and we were assigned to work on like storm reparations, like, for yeah. people or yeah. like, or people who can't afford to actually get someone in to fix their house, so we come in and we fix it for free, like yeah, that kind of thing.
I got you.
And so it was a lot of that, which I personally grew up loving because I was like, that's what I prefer, you know.
Sure.
And then of course we'd have our own like private
being in the
like service
with white people. That's what she said. You heard it, guys.
Wow.
It's on the recording.
This is how your supervillain story starts. Is this. This right here.
I said I believe in all these experiences. I never said I was a good person.
Tyler Webster's not a good person. There we go.
Let me tell you why.
Let me tell you why. rewind the tape 5 seconds and you'll have it. No, but like, you know, that was a big thing growing up. And so like to this day, I'm like, you know, people have like, you know, sort of their like taste in their mouth about different mission trips. And for me, as long as it is centered around the idea of just helping, and then like if they ask questions, we'll answer them.
Right.
But not like showing up to like shove things down their throat. Let's just help them like fix things and talk to them and make friends and like all that stuff.
No, I love that.
Then that's what I prefer. And that's the kind of mission trip I'd still be down to go on.
Yeah.
If I knew that that's what it was.
We should do a mad artist trip where we just like do some like relief effort or something.
That would be really
like,
awesome.
Like,
we should do that.
Co-opting with like another like humanitarian community. I think that would be
That would be really
so
great.
Cool.
We should definitely like look into that when we have, you know, some time and some money to
yeah,
spend
I mean,
on that.
I mean, as long as they pay us. I mean,
as long as they pay us.
Sorry.
Working for free.
Sorry, impoverished individuals. I don't work for free.
No. No
the
charity here.
No charity in this charity event. Excuse me.
Oh, God.
No, I do think that would be really cool, though.
Yeah. Well, do you want to look at a couple of advice things that I pulled?
I would love to.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have some things. So first off, so we are at some point in the future, we were planning on doing it this last week, but some health things came up with him. If anyone has ever listened to the podcast Weird Darkness, Darren Marlar is going to be joining us probably in a few weeks. He was going to join us last week, but now that he can't, we have like a lot of stuff coming up in the next few weeks. I'm going on a trip and then we have rehearsals. And
I mean, you say that like we're busy.
Yeah, exactly. What? No.
Literally every, and I'm not even kidding, every single day we are doing something.
Something other than just normal work.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's equal parts incredible and extremely fulfilling and fucking exhausting. So bear with us, please. We're doing our best.
We are doing our best. We will be putting out episodes as consistently as we can. But yeah, so he'll be joining us in a few weeks when we can reschedule it. So that'll be great. And I had pulled for that podcast a really creepy story.
Ooh.
It's not long. It's very short.
Okay.
And it actually kind of, so I read it when I was, it was the night that you had your phone call. And so I was already kind of like jittery and adrenaline-ish. Because
I had my phone call?
Your phone call with your girl.
Oh, yes.
And I was like all excited for you and wanting to know what happened. So my brain wasn't letting me go to sleep anyway. So I was like jittery. And I was laying there and I was like, well, you know, let me look up some stuff for the interview, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm looking up stuff. And some of it was all right. Some of it was decently scary. And then I found this one. And it freaked me out.
Oh, come on.
And I want to read it, but I'm scared for you. Because you're so easily terrified.
I don't know about all that. Let's hear it.
Okay. It's probably not as bad as I remember. I was also reading it like 1 a.m. in the dark.
It's probably the scary shit. I'm so here for it. All right.
Okay. So let me pull it up.
Oh,
God. Okay, so there's one of these that I want to save, and you'll understand why, so I'm going to save it. Okay. This is the one that freaked me out.
Okay.
It's titled... So this is from r/glitchinthematrix on Glitch Reddit. Glitch in the
Matrix, okay. Okay.
And it's titled, "My reflection wasn't looking at me, and then it was."
Fuck you. It says, that is my nightmare.
So it says...
Thank you guys for tuning in to let me tell you why. Like us, follow, subscribe, okay.
Do you still want me to read it?
Yes, it's okay. Just going to scare me.
It is. So I was taking a shower and just staring aimlessly at the showerhead, dreaming and pondering of the things that one ponders of during a shower.
Right.
The showerhead had a mirrored surface, and I slowly realized that though I was staring directly at it, my reflection's eyes were looking off to the left. For a moment or two, I wondered how that was possible and what trick of the beveling was causing my reflection to be looking away, when suddenly my reflection's eyes shifted and looked directly at me, and they continued to return my gaze for the rest of the shower as if nothing awry had been happening. It's never happened before or since.
Was he high? I mean, tell me he was high.
It doesn't say anything about him being high.
Oh, God. That's so scary. And then
someone commented and was like, if my reflection wasn't looking at me and then it did, I think I'd have a heart attack. No more mirrors, no more shiny surfaces, matte finishes on everything. Thank you. I just thought that was funny.
Yeah. That's spooky.
Scary as crap.
I have no advice for that. Leave.
No, that wasn't an advice thing. That was just to read something scary on the podcast.
Well, it worked. What was that bit? I showed you the first episode of Garth Brangy's Dark Place. When throws the cat down and the psychic lady looks at it and the cat just goes, just leave.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Okay. So this is from, this is an actual advice thing.
Okay.
This is from r/amitheasshole. Mm-hmm. It's from, IDK3587.
Okay.
It's titled, "Am I the Asshole for Not Going to My Daughter's 16th Birthday?"
Yes.
Now hear it out. "This happened a month ago, but my daughter still isn't talking to me, so I decided to ask here. I have two daughters from two different relationships, E, who is 14 years old, and R, who is 16. R lives in another city with her mom. I only have her in summers and on holidays. E lives with me full-time as her mom passed away a few years ago.
Oh, no.
E and R don't get along at all. When they are both with me, they try to avoid each other as much as they can, and they barely spend any time together. The two girls' birthdays are 2 weeks apart.
Ooh.
I was talking to R about her birthday party. She was very excited and couldn't stop talking about it. At the end of our call, she told me she was going to have her birthday party 2 weeks after the real day, which meant it would be the same day as E's birthday. I reminded her that it was E's birthday and asked her if there was any reason why she can't have her party on her birthday or the weekend or even the next week or any other day than that day. She didn't have a good reason. She only said she wanted it to be that day. I tried to convince her to change the day. She wouldn't change her mind. I asked E if she would change her plans and we could celebrate her birthday another day, but she refused. So I called R and told her I'm not going unless she changes the date because, one, she could choose any day and she knew it was E's birthday.
Yeah.
E wasn't invited and I thought it would be very cruel to leave her alone on her birthday. And three, this way they would each have one parent with them, which would be fair.
Right.
She started screaming at me, calling me an asshole for choosing E over her. I'm starting to feel bad because it was a milestone birthday, 16th birthday, but I still think I made the right choice. R and her mom disagree, so am I the asshole?"
No. I fundamentally no. I mean, yeah, no. I think that it sounds like R was the one who...
R is the 16th birthday
girl. Okay.
Yes.
I think R... who he has stated clearly does not like E. It sounds like R, especially at this age,
yeah.
Especially, you know, like at this age, you know, in this environment, I think R is doing this intentionally, specifically to give the dad a bit of a Sophie's choice.
Well, yeah.
And it's, and you know, and now she's punishing her dad because she's not getting what she wants. And so I think it's tricky, right? Because there are so many aspects to trying to parent these kids,
yeah,
that make this a very non-standard engagement, obviously.
The tricky thing is that because R is in a different city, and so she doesn't really get to see her dad a lot.
Right.
It is tricky, you know, because I'm sure she really wanted him to be there. Like, you know, she wants both her mom and her dad there on her 16th birthday, you know? Like, it's a big thing.
But that time is arbitrary.
Well, yeah, because why can't you put it any other day?
Right.
Like, put it any other day that isn't that day because you, like, you know that that's her day.
Yeah.
And that she would literally have neither of her parents there for her birthday if you brought her over there. And so not like, it almost seems to me like she's going through that phase of life that, you know, I feel like all teenagers go through.
Rebellious, let me piss my parents off.
Well, not even just rebellious, but also like so desperate to be the entire center of attention at all times where it's like, you have to choose me. Like, it's a choice now kind of thing that, you know, honestly, I think several years from now, she'll look back and be embarrassed that she did that.
She will.
And she'll be like, wow, why was that the choice? Like, I could have just not. Why did I do that? But that's going to be several years from now.
I think, I first of all, completely agree. I think with this specific scenario, the through line with every one of these bits that we do is going to be communication.
Oh, of course.
You see that your daughter is having this moment. Sitting her down and just kind of putting her in an inescapable situation where you sit her down and say, here's the thing. It's your birthday. It's your 16th birthday. We're going to make it special. We're going to make it awesome, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm your father. I love you. This is my time to see you. We're going to make this happen, okay? And that being said, there is no good reason why we're doing this. I personally think that you're doing this to try and get a leg up on E.
Mm-hmm.
So try and convince me why that's not the case and then work with me to compromise how we can make this right. Because I don't want to say crack the whip and be a jackass, but at some point you have to put your foot down. You are still the father. And so you can do it in a way that doesn't make her resent you for it, but talk to her and try and get in her head as to why she's trying to play this game.
He doesn't talk about R's mom much, except that that's who R lives with, and then that the mom is on R's side about this whole thing, which leads me to believe that maybe the mom is kind of instilling this idea in her, where she's like, oh, your father is not willing to do this for you? Wow, what a piece of shit.
Which is really fucked up, considering that E doesn't even have a mom.
Yeah, and she's like, wow, you can't even be here for your daughter? It's like, I have another one.
Yeah, I have another daughter, and her mom is fucking dead.
Yeah, so like, what am I supposed to do? Like, you know, I have to be here. Yeah.
Some people fucking suck. And that's the thing, right, is, you know, there are situations that come up where the mom and the dad disagree, and then, and I've seen this, dude, I've had neighbors in the past who we got to see a lot of their in-house drama, right? And there was an affair that took place where the dad had cheated, and the odds of anybody hearing about this, but I'm not using any names, it's fine. The dad had cheated on the mom. And they had a 12, 13-year-old son. And probably younger than that. A lot younger. It was probably 8 or 9. Doesn't matter. And they had a younger kid. And the cheating thing was exposed. And, you know, you get the fuck out, right? The problem was the mom, who I was on her side the whole time because cheating is horrible, right? Yeah. And I'm not saying that this validates the cheating, but the mom was using the child and was telling the kid, hey, go ask your father why he thought it was acceptable to fuck somebody else in our bed.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like,
that's such a terrible position to put your kid in.
What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
Do not put your kid in the middle of everything. Well, that's just bad for the child to have to suddenly be shoved in the center because you're not mature enough to either deal with your shit on your own or confront the person yourself.
Exactly. So it's like, you know, I'm not sticking up. Like, it's one of those situations where you're both fucking assholes.
Yeah.
Because he is wrong. He's objectively wrong. He's a shit fucking person for doing that. Fuck you. I get it. But that does not embolden you to abuse, because that's what it is. It's abuse. You can't abuse it's emotional your child abuse. Like that and put him in the middle, because all you're doing is creating a complex in the kid's mind. And so, you know, I don't know what's going on with the mom. There's a lot of nuance to this situation that we could be missing. But with the information we've been given, it does sound like the mom and the daughter are trying to team up to create a Sophie's Choice for the dad. And I think that's fucked up.
Yeah.
But I also think it creates an opportunity where the dad can really, really sit down and try and have a nuanced conversation with the daughter, since she's old enough to try and to start getting these concepts.
Yeah.
And really just talking to her about why she wants to do this, why this is so
important. Why this feels like the right move.
How this is affecting, and then try and vie for empathy. You know, your half sister, her mom is dead.
Be like, you're lucky enough to have your mom with you every single day.
You have your mom with you, and so it's her birthday, and you're trying to take me away from her on her special day when she has nobody else. I'm asking you. I'm not yelling at you. I'm not raising my voice. Why do you think that that's acceptable?
Yeah.
Why do you think that this behavior is acceptable of my daughter? Mm-hmm. You're my kid. You're my child. Why are you doing this?
Like, and not even that, if he even, like, had her think about if the roles were switched.
Exactly.
Where he's like, what if your mom, who you get to be with all the time, wasn't here?
Mm-hmm.
E still had hers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was living with you. What if she tried to do this?
Yeah.
How would you feel?
Yeah.
Like, if she was like, oh, no, it's going to be me or it's going to be nothing. Like, yes. You know, how would that make you feel if that was the situation you were in?
And don't let up, because that's the biggest problem, right? Mm-hmm. You'll create that environment. You'll create that. You'll pose that question. And a lot of people who will say and do the right things when they're trying to have this, like, intervention moment, a lot of people will ask the question, and then the daughter will start to squirm and, like, mm-hmm. kind of resist, and then they let it go, right? I'm not going to hold you to an answer. No, plant your feet and hold her to a fucking answer.
Be like, I asked a question. I need an answer.
This is whatever a serious, that is. This is serious.
Yeah.
I'm not fucking around, and you're not going anywhere until we reach a compromise.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you have to do X, Y, and Z. I'm not saying that you have to bend over and do exactly what I'm telling you. I am saying that we are going to reach a compromise because you are 16. You're about to be 16. That is, in a lot of places in the world, that's being an adult. I'm going to treat you like an adult.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot just throw your hands up. We have got to reach a compromise because that is the mature thing to do.
Yeah.
And if you do, I will gain so much respect for you
yeah.
for handling your first big problem as an adult before you're even 16. Mm-hmm. And I don't see an environment where the kid just throws her hands up and says, no, fuck you. Right? I see if you approach it that way, I guarantee you that the daughter is going to come around and actually see reason.
Yeah.
But you have to give her, you don't want to give her so much respect that she walks all over you, but you want to show her respect
mm-hmm.
and then demand that it's matched.
Yeah.
That's my personal, I want to be a dad so fucking bad, dude. Jesus.
Don't worry, you're gonna be, and then
I'm going to.
You're going to be, and then I've told you that I've already seen the situations in which I'm gonna get a frantic call from you
yep.
or whoever your wife ends up being, mm-hmm. being like, oh my God, we forgot about, can you and Sam please watch Olivia? And I'm just gonna be like, yeah, fine, go ahead, yeah, you know, Frosty's elderly now, we'll put him outside, it's fine. Like, we've got kids books for a reason,
yeah.
not just because I love them.
No, like, it is going to be pretty cool when that time comes to be like, oh, guess where we're going? We're going to Aunt Danielle and Uncle Samuel's. Oh, my God! You know, we get to see Frosty. And, like, it's going
to
be really
that,
cool.
That is my calling, is not to be a mom, but I love, like, the idea and the actuality of just being able to be an aunt.
A cool aunt.
It's just the cool aunt. Yeah, that's all I want to be. Like, when my sister has kids and she's like, you know, okay, you know, Aunt Danielle's coming down, and we're like, you know, me and Sam are just like in there alone with the kids, and they ask us just like real questions, and we're just like, don't tell your mom we said this, but just like,
yeah, man. I mean, I don't want to get all sad boy. We're talking about like death and shit, but like that was the last dream that my mom had was being a grandma. And so like, like, we would talk a lot, because, I mean, she always knew that I wanted to be a dad, and that passion and want to be that only got greater as time went on and I got older. But she knew from my young adult age, like, that was a really big priority for me.
Yeah.
And she fucking ate that shit up. She's just like, I'm going to be, she's like, I got to have, like, I want to, call me Grandma Ducky. And I'm like, why? And she's like, because that's what I want to be fucking called, Tyler. I want to be Grandma Ducky. I'm like, okay, all right, Jesus, all right, fine. And she just, oh my God, she would get so excited about being a grandma, right? And she's like, I'm not rushing you. I don't want you to do anything. Don't do anything, right? Don't
suddenly start poking a hole in condoms just to like make it happen.
Yeah, she's just like, she's like, don't do anything. Don't live your life, never have kids. I'm not telling you you need to have kids. But if you do, because you said you want to, I can't wait to talk about it. Oh, man. That's the one thing that will get me really worked up very quickly is just that and then the idea of my wedding. Like, and her not being there, those fuck me up. Outside of that, everything else I've come a really long way with, but those are the two things that really hit home because it's like, save for those two things, she had lived the life that she wanted to live, right? Mm-hmm. Even though it was cut short, in terms of experiences and the life that she wanted, she got all of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she got out of New Jersey, which was fucking, that's a story, that's its own story. But she got out of New Jersey in a really toxic environment. You know, she met Dad, she moved down here, she recreated, she started a life for herself, right? And she did it with her own two hands, and it's just the biggest source of pride is that she was able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when she had us, like, she realized, like, this is all I want to be, is the best mom possible.
Yeah.
And she fucking accomplished that, because she's incredible. And it was just, that was it, right? So it's like, cool, you know, I've accomplished everything I set out to accomplish. So mm-hmm. that's great. But as we start to get older, now we're starting to have conversations, and now this comes up, and she's like, well, fuck, that is something that I really want. Mm-hmm. So the fact that that was taken is fucking tragic, but, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I have to remind myself that she did live a full life, and it was good in that regard, and the time that we got to spend with her is, like, it made me who I am today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would not be even remotely close to who I am if not for her. And so, you know, to go back and how's this for a tie-in? When we talk about what happens when you die, like, I know that she's, you know, people say, you know, oh, when they die, they're still with you. They're still in your heart, all that stuff. But, like, with my belief, I believe that she's actually, like, physically out there. You know what I mean? Like, that her spirit, I don't believe she's reincarnated yet. And if she did, I mean, think about that, right? She's here again.
Yeah.
In her own way. Like, and it just, you know, I'll probably never bump into her. But, like,
well, you don't know that that's true. I mean, from what you believe.
Statistically. Well.
From what you believe about the different, because, you know, you've talked about this before, how mm-hmm. you believe that you and I have known each other before, me and Samuel have known each other before.
Yeah.
That, you know, based on your belief system, there is a solid chance you will bump into her. You just may not know.
Well, not only that, man. I mean, there is if we take that through line, there's a solid chance that the fucking kid that I have could be my mom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, I know that sounds like it's such a nuanced concept that, like, I've said that to people and they look at me like I'm a fucking freak. Like, and I get it. I know it. I know the optics. I know it sounds weird, but it's like when you put the weirdness to bed for a second mm-hmm. and just look at the beauty of love transitioning itself and taking different forms. You know what I mean? Like, there's just something so inherently beautiful. And just the concept of her raising me and, you know, giving and setting me on the path that I was set on. And for me to return that in my later years, like, that concept is just fucking insane. You know what I mean? It's just insane. And so, that's a bit of a rabbit hole, but it's, you know, I don't believe that that's happened yet, and I feel her, like, I feel her energy pop in and out every now and again.
Well, and that's the thing is you're talking about how, you know, she may not be there for these things, but, you know, until she has, in your belief system, you know, reincarnated as something else, she's gonna be.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, you may, it may not be in a physical form that can be captured with a picture,
mm-hmm.
but, like, 100% when you're standing up there, like, saying all of your shit, she's going to be right here.
I know.
She's going to literally be right there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is really emotional, but, there was a beat, so 6 days after my mom passed away, I know you've heard this story, but I'm telling this to the viewers.
No, go ahead.
6 days after my mom passed away, my best friend at the time attempted suicide. And she had washed a bottle of pills down with a bottle of vodka and waited on a pier on Lake Allatoona and just waited for death to take her. And we were supposed to hang out that day, and she canceled last minute. And I'm just kind of like, well, now what do I do? You know what I mean? And so I'm kind of like driving around town, just like doing some errands. A few hours go by after we were supposed to hang out, and she calls me, very clearly drunk and like fading, right? Mm-hmm. To say her goodbyes and to tell me how much I meant to her and everything. And I'm like, fucking no, I don't accept this. This is not happening, right? Yeah. I'm not going to fucking let you. And she's like, well, you don't know where I am. I'm like, bitch, I'm fucking Sherlock Holmes. Fucking challenge me again. I'll stop being so goddamn polite. And so I did. But that's the thing, right? Through the entire process of tracking her and trying to find where she was, I felt her right here, right mm-hmm. by my shoulder. I felt her energy, right? And because it was the way I found her was so lucky. Mm-hmm. It was so lucky that everything just happened to fall into place like it did. That mm-hmm. I was able to take what she said, and she was like, I'm going where it all started. What the fuck does that mean? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What do you mean I'm at where it all started? And then I thought about the drama with her other friends that I ended up taking the place of, mm-hmm. right? And solidifying myself. And then I thought about those friends, and I still have that guy's number. Mm-hmm. And so I call him, and I'm like, where it all started, where did you and her become friends? And he's like, well, it was the pier on Lake Alatoona. I'm like, fuck, where is that? Send me the address. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I had it, I was just like, it just felt right. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, I have the location. I know where she is. And I feel mom with me the whole time. I feel her in the car as I'm driving. And I looked it up at the GPS. It's 5 minutes away. And I felt her so strong. I literally looked over and out loud said, keep her alive and I will take care of the rest. And I felt her energy leave the car. I swear to God. Mm-hmm. I said, keep her alive and I will fucking take care of the rest. And we get there. I've got the windows down, rolled down. I'm screaming at the top of my lungs trying to find her. I'm like looking on the fucking coast trying to, hoping to God that I don't see a fucking body. Mm-hmm. And I see her on the pier. I go into a full sprint and I see her and she's like fading.
Yeah.
And so just so happened, and I don't know how, but another one of our friends, her other like close friend, it was like the three of us, had also tracked her down. Mm-hmm. And so she rolled up maybe 2 or 3 minutes after I had found her. Mm-hmm. And as soon as she comes down, I'm like, call 911. And so they get the police, and I'm over here like holding her, trying to get her to throw up everything. Yeah. And I did. I got her to throw up. I got her to pretty much empty her stomach. And then she tries to jump into the fucking lake.
Yeah.
And so I grab her and I'm like, I'm going down with her, right? Like, yeah. I'm gonna be in the lake in a millisecond. And the girl and her mom who was with her grab my fucking shirt and pull both of us back onto the pier. Mm-hmm. And it was just so I don't want to, like, cinematic is the worst is a bad way to put it, but it was just so storybook mm-hmm. that it's like, you know, I would imagine religious people would call that divine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like divine intervention kind of thing.
That like a straight up actual like on earth miracle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I don't see it that way.
Yeah.
I see it as that was my mom who is in this higher state where she has more influence in the world immediately putting that to use.
Yeah.
And proving to me in that moment that she's not really gone.
Yeah.
And that shit fucks me up.
It's okay.
Yeah, man. That's pretty cool. So, regardless, so to the listeners at home, regardless of what you believe in, you know, as long as you're not forcing it down other people's throats and you're internalizing it and you're making it your own and it gives you comfort.
Throw your shit on the ground.
But as long as you're being cool about it, you know, fucking go with it, man. Like, I'm happy that you get to have that experience. Check this out. You want to see something cool? You suck!
You suck! So
oh, you suck so much!
You're such an asshole. Why did I marry you? God, get out of here. That's my fucking husband right there. He said, I see this emotional moment. I see how I can make this awesome. Fuck him.
But anyway, all I'm trying to say is, you know, If it's right to you and it gives you comfort, then you have my full fucking support.
Yeah, like, it's, you know, it's one of those things where I know Samuel has, like, you know, probably some of the furthest beliefs, like, you know, from you, out of, like, out of the three of us, you and him are the furthest apart,
right,
for sure.
Right.
He believes a lot of the things I do, but not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, for people like him, it can be tough to imagine, you know, someone potential, like, the idea of like, spirits being able to sort of be with us and us sensing them isn't super far off for me.
Right.
But for someone like Samuel, who's definitely a, if I see it, I'll believe it. You missed
yeah,
it!
Yeah, oh, I wasn't even paying attention! It. I suck.
But, no, for someone like me who has, you know, experienced, you know, someone coming to me in a really intense time and, like, you know, sort of giving me that last boost to, you know, go out there and do what I needed to do,
mm-hmm.
and who has felt the presence of, you know, of different spirits in different forms before,
mm-hmm.
whether I've seen them or not.
Right.
It's like, for me, it's not far-fetched, and if anything, it is, at least for me, guaranteed.
Yeah.
That 100% he's back. That... You suck I, so
why,
bad.
Why do you do this to us?
Fuck you. Oh my god, no. Just open close. No, but...
Oh god.
I fucking hate
why?
You.
Why are you like this? We're trying to wrap up the episode.
Little goblin. Oh my god. He's a fucking gremlin.
He's
in
like,
the
no
house.
Crying in my house.
No, no fucking feelings. No, but like for me at least, it is a guarantee that those people that, you know, move past that we have strong ties to will, even if, let's say that, you know, let's say you're right. Let's mm-hmm. say that, you know, you can choose to go ahead and come back. And let's say that she chooses to come back before that day comes. I am still a believer that the simply just the stories that we tell about people and the thought and the space that they take up in our minds allows those spirits to share in what we're doing at the moment. So
that's
like whenever
beautiful.
I, so whenever I tell stories about like Ron,
uh-huh.
I believe that even if you're right, even if he's back on Earth as someone else and like, you know, he's not hanging around as a spirit anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that by talking about him, like that spirit from that life now has access to like either come and join in the conversation or at the very
wow.
least they get a sense of like, oh, what's going on? And they can like look and see and be like, oh, that's so nice. And like, you know, and so they continue to be able to connect with us and live on just through our memory of them.
That is so cool. I love that concept.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful.
So that's my way of saying no matter what, mm-hmm. in my opinion, she's 100% going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
When your first kid pops out and you're freaking out because there's blood everywhere and
I wouldn't
like,
be freaking out. I'd be unconscious.
And you're passed out on the floor. The nurse is giving you smelling salts to wake you back up and you're just hearing screaming and then suddenly a baby screaming. She's going to be right there looking at you like, you fucking, come on, get up. Like,
and the and it's so beautiful, too. The cycle continues because that's exactly what happened when I was born. My mom was having me and my dad was in there and then he saw it and passed out. And then all of the nurses were like, oh my god, you poor thing. And my mom had to audibly go, I'm having a fucking baby. Can I get some help? And they're like, oh shit. And then they get back up and helped her. And I can guarantee fucking to you the same thing is going to happen. And that's kind of neat.
You're absolutely going to. They're going to have to tell you to leave the room.
No, like, I'm just going to sit next to her. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like,
the thing is, you're still
going
to be able to see it, though. Like, you know.
Fuck that.
You're still going to be able
put
to
it
see
back,
it.
Put it back.
Put the blood back.
No, put the kid back. I don't want to look at it. or as my dad famously coined, is it too late for an abortion?
Oh my god.
He said it to us like all throughout our lives, like as a joke. Like we never took it serious. It's not like I'm fucking crying about it.
No,
like, it was a joke.
No.
But we would say or do some dumb shit and he goes, Jesus fucking Christ, Tyler, is it too late for an abortion?
No, that's like, I've told you this story, how when my parents brought my sister home and they were like, look, you've got a sister. I took like one look at her and went, put her back and just turned around and walked away and like left her alone. my parents love telling that story because they're just like, from day one, you were not about this bitch at all.
And like, for me, and this isn't like, you know, we're kids, you know what I mean? You're different than who you were when you were a fucking kid.
Of course, 1,000%.
Same with me. I mean, I said on the podcast recently that I was a fucking goody two shoes, and then look what happened.
And then look what happened. Right. You're out here trying to fucking perform fraud.
White collar criminal. Yeah, exactly. So, but no, like when, like I remember my parents at least telling me the story. I don't know how fucking, you know, I assume it's true. But what happened was when they showed me my brother, I like started like getting all worked up and emotional. I was just like, this is my brother. I love him. And I just like wouldn't let him go. I was like, no, you have to fucking fight me, bitch. Like, this is mine. Fuck you. And it's like, I don't know. I feel like there's an element of like my personal beliefs of spirituality that tie in with that kind of energy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just because of how important my brother is in my life.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll have to talk about it next time.
Wow, you must just be, you know, putting a slight on me and my sister's relationship.
No, I'm not trying to say it like that at all. But different relationships take different forms.
Right, you know
what I mean? Like, it's just like me and my brother's relationship is unique and special to us, and your relationship with your sister is unique and special to you, and you were also a different person when you were younger.
When we're also two very similar personalities with like a couple of big key differences.
Oh, really?
And me trying to be friends with myself doesn't always work out the best.
I kind of got that energy because we're talking about the sister that was there at your...
That's the only sister I have, so yeah.
I don't know why I fucking thought anything different.
My
I'm
maid
sorry.
Of honor, the one that was at my birthday. Yes.
Okay, sorry. I think I had a stroke. I'll tell you why after the podcast, but regardless. Okay. So, but yeah, so like when I was, this is the first time I like actually had interactions with her, like mm-hmm. full on. And just in listening to her talk and joke around, it's like, I feel like she's you, but more openly savage.
Yes, and that's unapologetic, very true. She has,
which is a terrifying concept.
She doesn't have the filter that so I've always said she is me without tact. That's what I've always said, is that she lacks the tact that I have, where I can think for a second and go, oh, should I say that? And then I can pull back, or I can reword it and be like, let's make this sound a little less savage.
Yeah.
Whereas she just doesn't give
that's
a fuck.
So
and she'll just be like, yeah, like literally...
Taking your dad to task,
dude. She fucking will.
I was
will.
Like, oh my god. She'll no, it wasn't your. It was your dad and your mom.
Yeah.
She was fucking on both of them. I'm like.
She'll be like, can you guys stop fucking sucking as bad as you do? Like, just throw shit out. And it's very much me just without that filter that I have. No, and so trying to, like, God. Be close friends with me is, like, and I'm me is a little difficult. But no.
This is why I love my brother so much, because we're basically we're the same person in a lot of aspects, but we have, like... But we are the complete fucking polar opposite in the most important ways so that we complement each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's like this perfect yin and yang that we like have stricken with ourselves, which is why I'm like, I'm always want to hang out with him because we have never not gotten along. You know what I mean? Like, we've always just vibed from start to finish. And it's just great. It's just great how we can fill in the gaps for each other.
Yeah.
You know?
And see, me and Amber's relationship is good now, and it got good basically once I moved out and we didn't have to see each other every day.
And sometimes that's what it takes.
Yeah, because as soon as I moved out, suddenly we were like, oh, we actually like each other. Like, we should talk more.
Right.
And like, you know, and she was one of the first person I called when I had like my first real heartbreak.
Mm.
Like, I called her just sobbing and was like, I'm just eating Waffle House on my floor. Like, you know, just like freaking out. And she ended up coming and just like watching. I think she came over and like watched Friends with me for like 3 hours just because I didn't want to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like crying into my hash browns and like my sweet tea and just like, you know, it was great. But, like, until I moved out, we fucking hated each other.
Yeah.
And, like, you heard in the speech at my wedding, we hated each other for a long time. But, yeah, I guess that's just the thing, is if you're gonna be with a Lorenz and you have any similarities to their personality, you shouldn't live with them. not for very long. Because you'll end up fucking hating them. And that's where
we're gonna leave off. That is where we will end tonight's episode, everybody. Thank you so much for giving us a listen, for stopping by, doing all the things that you're supposed to do with podcasts nowadays.
Just opening your ears and hitting play.
Yeah, and then do all the other stuff too that you know you're supposed to do, which is like share it or whatever.
You know, share it, subscribe to the channel if you want to actually, like, you know, see when we post things, because it's sporadic.
Imagine. But no, we really appreciate and love you guys very, very much. David, you know, I forgive you, man. When we get to the fan fiction, I forgive you. I'm not upset. I'm just disappointed.
Just disappointed, David.
But regardless, stay tuned for what is looking to be the funniest episode of Let Me Tell You Why. And that's a tall order.
That is a tall order.
For fan fiction next week. And then we have Man coming out on the horizon.
Yeah, we'll keep you updated on exactly when that's going to happen. It won't be next week, for sure, and it won't be the week after because I go on vacation. But the week after, it might happen. We'll see. I'll keep you posted.
Well, we'll be very excited to have an actual guest who knows people, which is cool.
Yeah, like, who isn't just like, you know, one of our friends.
One of our friends, right, exactly. Somebody else who doesn't know us who's like, yeah. Oh, yeah, you guys seem decent.
If you
it's
haven't...
like, we do? Since fucking when?
No, if you haven't listened to his podcast, it's super cool. I've been listening to it for years. If you like spooky shit or just weird shit, because sometimes the stuff he talks about isn't even scary. It's just weird or it's conspiracy based. It's really, really cool. His voice is very nice and relaxing to listen to.
Yeah.
So go listen to Weird Darkness if you haven't, so that you know who to expect in a few weeks.
Exactly. I won't be doing that because if there's any skeletons, you got the wrong fucking guy.
Skeletons? Are you really that scared of skeletons?
Have I not told you about that meme?
No.
There's this meme a long time ago where I jokingly was like, skeletons are the scariest fucking thing on the planet. And because it was around the time when the spooky, scary skeleton meme came out.
Yeah.
Right?
Thing,
and
yeah.
And so we went into, it was me and all my friends at the time, and we went into like a Halloween store, and it's just a bunch of skeletons, and I'm just, I literally just... like, out loud in front of the entire let's go on dad. It was the funniest because I didn't miss a beat, because it was timed so perfectly. We were walking in and I'm just like, if there's a single fucking skeleton, I swear, ding ding, oh! And I dramatically ran out of the building.
My God.
And it was so fucking funny. And so the meme is no fucking skeletons, even though I don't actually give a
shit. We've got to go to a haunted house as a group. So
fucking
bad.
Please!
Like, either Netherworld, since it's close, or if we want to take a little trip and then, like, you know, sleep in Columbus and drive back, we can go out to creepy old Salem, Alabama, to the place I used to go, where there's just fog and open farmland and inexplicably
a
haunted
things.
Place in the middle.
No skeletons, right? I can't promise that. I'm not going to. Anyway, before we go on more diatribes, thank you so much for everybody for listening. I've been Tyler.
I've been Danielle.
And this has been strangely emotional.
Strangely emotional.
Very nice.
And nice and chaotic.
Yeah. Oh, bye-bye!